Hello, and welcome back to We Are the Weirdos, Mister, the podcast for all things cult, camp, queer, and creepy. I am your host, Hillary Michelle Post, and I'm joined once again by my beloved Heather. Thanks for joining me again, Heather.
Hey, thanks.
This is our fourth and final installment of Happy Holidays, our celebration of queer holiday movies. And today we're probably going to talk about one movie in particular, but honestly, we've watched a few lesbian Christmas movies between the two of us, and we'll talk about all of them. So originally this episode was going to be about Christmas at the Ranch, which is a new lesbian Christmas movie that just came out this year. That on paper sounded like it was going to be very similar to Dashing in December, which we all know we love. And in a lot of, like, superficial ways, it is a lot like that movie. But we are sad to report that it was nowhere near as cute or charming as Dashing in December and was kind of a letdown. Would you agree?
It was a big snooze fest, yeah.
Yeah. And please explain to the poor listeners at the clusterfuck of us acquiring these movies.
Oh, we had to get, is it Telo, I think, what it was? I had to purchase a month's worth of this Telo, which might be great, I'm unsure, but it seemed to only have, like, queer-themed media on it, which, okay, cool. And then I had to go and buy the movie on top of that, but then the movie wouldn't stream on my TV, so I had to stream it from my computer to my TV to actually watch the movie. But I can get the app for Telo on my TV. It makes no sense. It was very complicated.
It was very complicated. It was a nightmare. And the movie was Christmas in at the Ranch was produced by Telo, which I think is like, I might be wrong, but I think is all specifically lesbian media even. Heather, I think, and Heather made the assumption, which makes sense, was like, oh, well, if I just get Telo, then I'll get this movie that was produced by Telo. No, no. You have to have Telo, and then you also have to buy the movie separate. It was so stupid. I felt really bad.
No, it was fine. I just got an email a couple days ago that was like, your first month has ended. I was like, oh, okay. Apparently a month is not 30 some days anymore.
I was going to say, damn, that was fast. Oh, the past couple weeks have been crazy for me. I was in town like 2 weeks ago and I visited Heather, and Heather threw a great Friendsgiving party. And that's when Heather and I watched these movies. And, I stayed at my sister's for a few days, and then I got really sick and couldn't go home. And then my sister and I finally did make it home, and I was better, and then got sick again. And then Lacey stayed with me for a week, and then I drove her back to Ohio. So now I'm in Ohio again at Lacey's house. I'm like in the guest room on my laptop and Lacey's and Sam's like gamer headset. This month has been complete insanity. And I'm, like, laying here looking at my notes, struggling to remember these movies because it's been 2 weeks and I don't remember hardly anything.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I didn't take notes when we were watching the movies because I was, like, cooking a lot. So I have very limited notes that don't make a lot of sense to me anymore.
Yeah, neither do my notes. I was just taking notes on my, like, Samsung notes as we watched, and they're just like sentence fragments that mean nothing now.
The first thing I have under Christmas at the Ranch says there wasn't any Shania Twain.
See, so strike one. Strike one. No line dancing. Like, the only thing I will give Christmas at the Ranch is that the girls were cute. And it had my favorite trope, which is, oh, there's only one bed. Like, oh, we have to share a bed. I love that trope. But other than that, it was pretty lackluster.
Yeah.
like I mentioned earlier, it's like the exact same plot as Dashing in December, like a business person coming back to their home ranch and like needing to sell it, and then they end up saving it, and they fall in love with the ranch hand that works there, and it's that's the whole movie.
And they are like, to save the ranch at the end.
Of course.
Yeah.
And there's kind of like a Deus Ex Machina kind of ending too, because she just like happens to come into some money. So it's just like, it's not a clever ending at all. It's just like, oh, she has money now, so now she can save the ranch. Ta-da!
Yeah.
And the secondary characters weren't as fun as in Dashing in December either. Like, at least we had Andie MacDowell and Blake and all these other cute characters.
Yes.
All we had in Christmas at the Ranch was that weird hippie character whose name was, like, Masonry or something.
Oh, I was like, what are you even talking about? But yes, yes, who miraculously... Okay, so this character went on, like, a blind date with our main character named... Haley.
She went with Haley.
Haley, who was on social media as like Joan or something, hiding her identity. Okay, so yeah, good. They go on this date, and she's like, "I don't like your aura. Like, we're not gonna work out." But then she comes back at the end, and I still don't really understand how or why.
Me either. You have an excuse because you were up cooking and like doing things. I watched the whole thing, and I still don't know why she was there.
Yeah, and when she came back, I was like, whoa, what?
Yeah, and I was like, I don't know what to tell you. Oh, man, what a mess. So, yeah, like, A Christmas at the Ranch was kind of becoming a meme a little bit on TikTok. Like, lesbian TikTok was all excited for this movie, but I don't know, people. You have to pay $7 to rent it, and I don't know if it's worth it. I hate to break it to you. So the movie we watched instead was Season of Love, which came out last year, or 2 years ago. Came out in 2019. Also produced by the same company, directed by the same woman, and it was cuter, I thought.
It was what?
A lot cuter.
Oh, yes, yes. I agree that I think it was a lot cuter. Now, I just want to go back just a second. Christmas at the Ranch somehow got a 7.4. Now, it looks like it has about 2,000 reviews. So the people who watched it liked it 7.4 out of 10 on IMDb. Like, that's a pretty high rating.
Yeah. Interesting.
Maybe assholes. I don't...
I mean, just women are desperate for content is the only thing I can assume.
Yes, you are right.
Yeah. And it was not, like, offensively bad or anything. That's about the same rating Season of Love has. It has a 7.3 out of 10 on IMDb. Huh.
Interesting. Yes. But I thought this was just so much better.
Yeah, it was definitely more engaging. There's more going on. Because Season of Love is kind of like Lesbian Love Actually. It has like three or four different romances going on at once, and all the stories are woven together. God, I hope I remember everyone's names. I could have them in my notes.
Down, and I have the IMDb page up right now to help us. So I did down out of my minimal notes. I did write down the people's names and in the relationships. So we have three relationships going on. We have Iris, Mardot, and Theo. So the movie starts out, I'll just give a little brief synopsis of each. Is that okay?
Yeah, totally.
So Iris is going to get married to Theo. And Theo's sister, Mardot, comes in and, like, looks at her. And then the next scene is, like, her crying. So there's kind of, like, a love triangle there. Then there is Lou, Kenna. And Lou and Kenna are neighbors. And Lou just thinks Kenna is rude and not into her. Well, she then finds out that Kenna is deaf. So then they strike up a friendship, and then Kenna's friend Charlie is a part of that because Charlie is kind of the interpreter for Kenna for a while. And then there's Janie and Sue, and I'm trying to remember Janie and Sue's story. Janie is in the military and, like, just coming home, and she's trying to she has an on and off again girlfriend named Sue, and she's thinking about proposing.
Sue is a musician, and she plays guitar in this little band, but she's secretly, like, a really good singer, but she's really anxious and insecure about it. Yes. And can sing in front of people. And that becomes, like, a plot point later. So it's those three relationships all interwoven together. Everyone knows everybody in some different way. All three of the main characters are all involved in Iris's wedding, which is what the movie starts with. So we see Lou, which I have her written down as Disaster Lesbian Lou. I feel like these movies always had one disaster lesbian who's, like, frantically running around trying to, whether it has to do with work or her relationships or whatever, she's just, like, clumsy and chaotic, and that's what the movie opens with, is Lou running around on the phone, getting ready for this wedding. Just disaster lesbian. Haley is kind of a disaster lesbian in Christmas the Ranch, too. I remember writing that down for the notes for it, too. I'm just like, oh, token disaster lesbian. When then Lou, like, leaves her house and she sees Kenna, and there's this great, like, slow-mo moment, where that's how you know that Lou has a crush on Kenna, because everything goes in slow-mo and gets fuzzy.
Yeah.
And then, like, Lou and Janie are bridesmaids for Iris's wedding, right?
Yeah.
Right. And then Mardo, who is played by the same girl that played Haley in Christmas at the Ranch, by the way. So there's another crossover. She's so pretty. Her hair is much better in this one than it is in Christmas at the Ranch.
Oh, my goodness. Like, I am not trying to, I don't know, I'm not trying to be a petty bitch, but that girl in Christmas at the Ranch just needed a trim. All she needed was a trim. She had such dead end. I'm like, just give her a trim. It's not even, I would have paid for it. I think I did pay for it and all the money.
Oh, my God. And Mardo, when she comes in, which, by the way, what a weird name. Not to name shame, but weird name. She comes in and she's dressed in a suit, like a suit and heels, and she looks so hot. I love women in suits. And she is Iris's fiance's sister. So Iris is getting married to Theo, but Mardo shows up to tell Iris that Theo didn't show up, and he, like, left her at the altar. So then Iris, like, gets shit-faced because she's depressed and upset about her fiancé ditching her.
And you think it's a big deal that she's doing that. Like, okay, guys, like, calm down. She has a right to get drunk. Like,
100%. And I guess this is, like, an extra level of angst because Mardo is sober. That was just kind of, like, dropped in there, but, like, Mardo is sober. Is, like, going through, quote, that sobriety thing is how they referred to it in the movie. I'm like, okay.
A little incense there.
Yeah. But yeah, even my notes, it says, Iris is allowed to be drunk right now.
Yeah.
But Lou and Janie are, like, not taking very good care of Iris. They don't really know what to do with her. So Marta swoops in and takes care of her and, like, puts her to bed and makes sure she's okay. It's very sweet. And then Theo shows up the next morning and, like, is explaining to Mardo Iris is still asleep, and he's, like, explaining to Mardo why he left. And basically, like, he felt like he was being pressured to be the, quote, perfect husband. Basically, his whole excuse is just bullshit. It's, like, the most douchiest, well, everyone thought we were perfect, and it was just too much pressure, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, he could have said that. I mean, why did he get engaged to her then? I mean, he didn't have to, like, why was this revelation on wedding day?
Right, totally. Ugh. And it felt so bad for Iris, because it sounded like Iris, like, goes out of her way to make everything perfect for him. And instead of appreciating that, he's, like, turns that into, like, a character flaw. Poor Iris.
Yeah.
But Theo leaves. He, like, he just came home to get his passport, and then he took off on some business trip. So he completely leaves the country. And Marta, like, stays with Iris and, like, stays at her apartment for a while to, like, help take care of her and make her feel better.
Which makes it even more odd, because it's not like she's a friend. She's the brother of, excuse me, the sister of Theo. Like, that's her brother.
Right.
Like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, she's a great friend to Iris, but, like, it is awkward being, it's a little incestuous. It's a little all in the family. It's odd.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to comfort your ex-fiance that you left at the altar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Then we learn more about Janie. We see Janie and her mom, who is played by an actress who I swear to God is the exact same age as Janie.
Oh my it's goodness.
Just, like, when we, during the process of the scene, we, like, find out that it's her mom. We thought it was, like, her roommate or something, because they look the exact same age.
Yeah, it's, that woman's got to be at least 5 years older than her, max.
Maximum, yeah. But Janie tells her mom that she's going to propose to Sue. And she hides, I have in my notes that she hides the ring in the bread box, which is a weird place to hide. I guess, like, Sue never eats bread. I don't know.
Yeah, she's gluten free. I don't know.
She has celiac disease. Then the next scene, we, the audience, find out that Kenna, the girl from the slow-mo sequence at the beginning, is deaf. We meet her and her roommate slash interpreter, Charlie. And I guess Lou is, like, opening a brewery, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Lou's opening a brewery and she.
Took us a long time to figure that out. Well, she was opening, like, wow.
Yeah, that's very unclear, too. There's a lot in this movie that's not entirely clear. He's kind of got to piece it together as you go. And she hires Kenna to, like, help build the brewery. It's so unclear. I don't know. She hires Charlie and Kenna to do something. And she thought that they were a couple. She thought they were assholes who ignored her and that they were a couple because she would hear people have sex in their apartment. Well, it turns out, not only are they not a couple, Charlie is gay, is a gay man. And what she was hearing was him being obnoxiously loud, which I guess if you had a deaf roommate, you
yeah, I guess whatever.
You would take that for granted, I guess, that you're being a little loud. Then we see more of, it cuts back and forth a whole bunch. So you see more of Sue and Janie together, and they're all cute. And then we see more of Iris and Mardo together. And, like, Iris and Mardo go to the movies. And I think Iris, like, has been on a diet her whole life. And she just, like, goes to the movies and pigs out and watches a whole shitty horror film because she can. She just, you see that she has freedom to be. Yeah. More than she has been in a long time. There's a scene between Charlie, or a scene between Lou and Kenna where Charlie isn't there and it's like super awkward. And she's trying to like figure out how to communicate with her. So she's reading her lips and trying to remember she has to like face her at all times and speak clearly. But they communicate, they figure each other out pretty well and can communicate. Like they use Kenna's phone a lot. So that was cute watching them like bridge that communication gap and not having to rely on Charlie to be there all the time. And then we see Sue, busking. She's out just playing her guitar on the street and Mardo walks past and gives her her business card. And that's how we find out that Mardo is actually a music producer. And she's like, hey, you're really talented. Do you sing? And she's like, oh, no, I don't sing. And she's like, well, you know, get in touch with me sometime, and gives her her card. Then Iris decides that despite the fact that her wedding just got called off a few days ago, she's still going to throw her Christmas party. Which I'm pretty sure I would have canceled.
Well, I don't know. Like, I guess you wouldn't want to be alone. So you'd be like, yeah, have my friends come over.
That's true. Mm-hmm. I just wouldn't want to host. I wouldn't be in a hosting mood. I'd be like, someone else threw at the party, so I don't have to.
Yeah.
What is it with movies and getting married around Christmas?
I have no idea. I mean, that just sounds annoying to your guests, really. And
totally.
Like, why?
Yeah. Don't get it. If anyone listening knows anyone who got married, like, on or near Christmas, let us know. And was it obnoxious or was it convenient? In some ways, I suppose it'd be convenient because people might be in town that wouldn't be otherwise. Or, you know, maybe it's like, you know, two birds, one stone sort of situation. But yeah.
Someone who got married, I don't know if she got married on New Year's Day or New Year's Eve. Yeah, but still, that's just a weird time. Like, I don't want New Year's Eve at your wedding.
I don't know. That wouldn't be too bad. Because if you think about it, all you're doing on New Year's is, like, partying it with your friends anyway. So it'd just kind of be like a built-in New Year's party.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. I like that better than Christmas. That's for sure.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Well, some assholes try to plan their wedding around Halloween. I don't know.
That was awesome because yours was like a destination wedding, so we all got to party together anyway. It was great for like a whole weekend.
Yeah, until like Bruce and I realized that now if we have a child, we're gonna spend our anniversary for a significant amount of time going trick or treating.
Yeah, but at least you guys will never forget your anniversary. It'll be easy to remember.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. My parents got married on my grandparents' anniversary.
Okay, that's kind of cute.
Yeah. Mom hated it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's like, aw, or like, ooh.
Ooh, yeah. I don't know whose decision that was. Probably my grandparents. Lacey and I were looking at pictures. I showed you. Lacey and I were looking at pictures the other day and found my parents' wedding photos, and they looked miserable. And Mom swore up and down it's because she was trying not to cry because everyone was crying, and she was that's why she was so stone faced because she was trying to hold it together. I'm like, okay, sure.
All right, Lisa. Tell the children you need to hear.
Yeah, it wasn't because you were 18 and pregnant and marrying my dad, but okay, sure. What happens next?
Please don't ask me.
Okay, so Iris and Mardo are setting up for Iris's Christmas party. And they're putting up, like, snowflakes and decorations and stuff, and they hang mistletoe.
Of course they do.
Of course they do. And Iris, like, stumbles off of the stepladder she's using, and Mardo catches her. And they're, like, in each other's arms under mistletoe. And they don't kiss because this movie doesn't give us what we want in nearly as fast as of a fashion. Which was it, this movie or Christmas at the Ranch, that we're just like, this movie is 12 hours long?
It was this movie. Like, remember, because we watched this the next morning, and I, like, stopped to make coffee, and I was like, we've all been watching this movie for 20 minutes. Like, oh, my God, did time stand still? And then I, like, stopped it again, and I was like, I'm going to make us French toast. And it was like, we've only been watching this movie for 45 minutes. Oh, my God. Like, I felt like it was an eternity.
It really did feel so super long. And it was only an hour and 45 minutes, but I've gotten to the point now where, like, if a movie isn't, like, a tight 90 minutes, I'm just like, Jesus Christ. We had the same problem with Single All the Way, what Lacey and I watched, which is like,
stop too.
Yeah. Ugh. Let's see. So there's the mistletoe moment. We find out about Sue's mom. Sue's mom is, like, battling cancer. Again, just a random plot point that really has, just to give some character depth, I guess, but just kind of like Marta's sobriety, it really serves no purpose. Mm-hmm. She just happens to have cancer. But I think she's in remission. I think she's getting better. I don't remember.
I don't either.
Oh, my notes auto-corrected Kenna to Jenna about 5 times. I was like, who's Jenna? I was like, oh, that was my thought.
I will say that, like, because Sue is a musician, we have, which I would have liked this storyline more throughout, but, like, we see this band play frequently throughout the scenes, and I really liked that because even though it wasn't Shania Twain, I mean, it was, like, some good music.
Mm-hmm.
Meshed in. I think that would have been a storyline to watch unfold. Other than adding those plot points that really didn't matter, we then have these characters we don't really get to know, but appear a lot. I would have rather got to know them more than, like, know about Sue's mom or Mardo's recovery, or, you know.
Right. Yeah, I agree. So now we are at Iris's party. Janie and Sue show up at the party, and they're all cute and all dressed up, and everyone looks adorable at this party. It's kind of like a cocktail dress type soiree. Everyone's in the cute little dresses. Kenna and Charlie show up at the party. Lou, like, so funny. Lou, I don't know if she stole them or if she just happened to find them, but she took Kenna's welding gloves and used them as an excuse to invite Kenna and Charlie to the party to pick up the gloves, which is so dumb because they live right next to each other. Heather pointed that out. She's like, why wouldn't they just go to Lou's apartment, which is right next to her?
Mm-hmm.
But she used it as an excuse to invite them to the party, and they show up, and Lou continues to be a disaster. She's so funny. She's there flirting epically. Then some creepy guy who they never say who he is. He's just this guy at the party, hits on Janie and Sue and make them really uncomfortable. So Iris kicks him out, and he's a real bastard about it too. He's like, I never liked you. I think he said something along the lines of, like, this is why Theo left you or something shitty like that. So that's basically all that happens at the party. It's just kind of like a brief little interlude to remind you that men are bastards. Then we see Lou trying to teach herself ASL, which is really cute. Do you know much ASL?
I do not.
I've always wanted to learn.
Hopefully if I do have a child, I learn more, because I know they teach them a lot, and my mom's learned a lot through being, like, an elementary school teacher, which I think is really cool. But yeah, I mean, my mom knows a lot more than I do.
I know the alphabet.
Yeah, I don't even know if I could do that.
I remember when I was in kindergarten when they taught us the the alphabet. They taught us sign language to alphabet at the same time, which is cool.
Well, at one point, doesn't Lou try to, like, do a symbol for beer, maybe? And she says, bitch.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, that's, no, wrong. She's trying, though.
Yes, it's, I think it's cute. I like the representation. Because you looked up and that the actress actually is hearing impaired, isn't she?
Yes.
Yes. See? I like that.
Do we not say deaf anymore? Do we say hearing impaired? Is that what we do? Or doesn't matter?
I don't think deaf is derogatory in any way. I mean, I use both.
Okay. I do too. That's why I was like, oh man. Okay.
Oh, then we get the token, which this is another thing that is in, like, not only every gay movie, but every Christmas movie. The character seeing the other character just out of the shower.
Oh my goodness. Every movie.
Every movie. Mardo gets out of the shower and she's just in a little towel and it's all steamy and it gets all slow-mo and wind machine and everything. It's so funny.
Like, why does Christmas have to be that sexy? Like, calm down.
I agree. I think Christmas movies should be sexier.
Okay.
Mom and I watched a Christmas, I know I told you this already, but we watched a Christmas movie produced by Harlequin. It's based on a Harlequin novel, and there was no sex in it at all. No characters left together at all. I was like, this is horseshit. Harlequin, it's supposed to be dirty. Like, I wasn't expecting to see a hardcore sex scene or anything, but, like, canonically in the story, you'd think people would hook up. Nope. I don't even think they kissed until, like, the last scene. It was so stupid. It's been a long time since I've read a Harlequin novel. Maybe they're all boring now. Who knows?
I've never read one, by the way.
Really?
No.
Oh, my gosh. They're pretty fun. There's, like, a whole sub-genre of Harlequin novels now that are all about, like, babies. And you want to talk about, like, the least sexy thing in the world to me? Pregnancy.
Yeah.
Every time I'd see any Harlequin novel with a baby on the cover, I'm like, oh, God, just make me dry as the Sahara. Like, just, ugh. I feel the same way about fanfic, too. Anytime fanfic has, like, babies or pregnancy or kids in it, I'm like, nope. I refuse to read it. Julie loves that shit, though. That's her favorite genre of fanfic, is anything having to do with babies. Ugh.
Nope.
Y'all baby crazy, and I'm out here by myself, like, oh, I'm good. Let's see. Oh, Lou brings Kenna over a 6-pack of her beer that she brewed herself. And they end up making out. But instead of staying, Lou leaves because she has, like, a business meeting the next day? Which I don't understand. So, like, it's the next day. You can stay there and make out. You have all day.
Yeah, I did not understand that at all.
Disaster lesbian. But she dips. Then, oh, I forgot, after the Mardo shower scene thing, Mardo was supposed to go on a date, and Iris went out with and had dinner with her parents or something, and she came back expecting, you know, to be alone, and Mardo is still there. She had canceled her date because she loves Iris. That goes unsaid, but it's implied.
Dun, dun, dun.
I also love the bisexual representation of Iris, because it's never like, oh, well, I never loved Theo. Now I love a girl. It's right. She did love Theo, but she also is falling in love with Marta. Oh, God. Then there's that embarrassing scene where Janie raps.
Oh, my goodness. I tried to block that from my memory.
My notes just say, please stop.
Yeah.
I don't even remember where they are or what they're doing. I just remember Janie, like, rapping and Sue thinking it's adorable. I'm like, wow, you guys should get married if you if you're still attracted to her after that. let's see. Then it's Christmas. Janie secretly filmed Sue singing and uploaded it to YouTube. And it gets a bunch of hits. And it becomes, it goes viral. And everyone is like enamored with how great Sue can sing. But Sue gets really pissed off about it. And breaks up with Janie for like exploiting her trust, I guess, for disregarding her insecurity and her anxiety about it.
Yeah, I think that's warranted.
I do too. I guess, I don't know. I feel like if I was that anxious and insecure about it, I can understand. But after it happened and it got such a positive response, you'd think the positive response would alleviate that anxiety, and then, do you know what I'm saying?
I mean, the real question is, if you have that much anxiety about it, why were you just singing on a park bench?
That's also true. don't think too hard about it. It's a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
So Sue and Janie break up over it, which is a lot, I think. Like, I understand that she's upset, but, like, it's a lot that they break up. And Theo comes back. I don't know what made him change his mind, but he comes back and wants to get back together with Iris. So Mardo kind of, like, slinks away with her tail between her legs because it's her brother and he was there first, I guess.
Yeah.
Lou and Kenna finally go on an actual date. And then we have a time jump to New Year's. And in that time period, Sue signed with Mardo's production company. Theo is now moving out because Iris kicked him out because she's realized she was in love with Mardo. Lou opened her brewery and everyone is at the brewery for the big opening night party. And Sue is going to perform at the brewery. There's a great scene where Lou comes over to talk to Kenna and her friends. And I forget what she's trying to sign. I think she's trying to sign girlfriend, but instead of signing Kenna is my girlfriend, she signs Kenna is my lesbian. Iris shows up and tells Mardo that Theo left, and they finally kiss. Finally.
How's she gonna explain this to her brother? I just wanna know.
They actually say that Iris told him the truth and that Theo, like, agreed that her and Mardo had, like, always had good chemistry. So I guess Theo was cool with it.
Okay, he was just like, whatever. Okay.
Yeah. I guess he's like, well, keep it in the family. It's not me. That's the best thing.
Okay.
Yeah. And Sue performs and gets back together with Janie. So I guess after, you know, signing a record deal and overcoming her anxiety, she forgave Janie and they get back together. And at the end, everyone is paired up and live happily ever after.
It's perfect. Every good Christmas movie should be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was cute. It was very Love Actually with significantly less cringe, with the exception of the rapping scene, which we will pretend didn't happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was cute. I would recommend that people watch it, but you have to, like, sign up for Tello, and it's a huge pain in the ass.
Well, honestly, I mean, for this one, it's not an additional charge. So if you do sign up for Tello, there is an app, and it's not a new movie, so they shouldn't have to do anything crazy. So honestly, you could probably rent it for, like, $4.99, I think, was, like, the month that I got, which was actually, like, 21 days, I think. But with that said, yeah, that's almost the same price to rent a movie. So I would say it's worth it if it sounds interesting.
Yeah. I was just looking at the IMDb page, and at the bottom it, like, recommends movies. If you like this movie, you'll like these. And I just saw a movie called City of Trees from 2019.
Yes, I saw that too. I want to watch it too.
I totally want to watch it. And you can rent it on Prime for only 99 cents. Ooh, I might have to do that. This is like, this movie, this episode is just jam-packed with lesbian movie recommendations, y'all. You're in a lesbian Christmas mood. We got you covered.
So I watched a movie. It was a Hallmark movie that came out this year. It's called Every Time a Bell Rings. And it was, I think, the most adorable Hallmark movie I've ever watched. And so it's about these three sisters, and they're adopted. And every year their dad had them do a scavenger hunt for the Christmas bell. Well, dad passes away, and they have one last scavenger hunt. And one of the sisters is gay, and there is a her finding, like, a partner plot point. So I really enjoyed that movie.
Oh, cute.
It was really cute at the end. I cried a little bit. It was cute.
I need to add that to my list. What did you watch it on?
So don't judge me, but I also got a Hallmark On Demand for the month of December. But I think you could watch it on, if you have cable, it's going to be probably on Hallmark Channel again, or if you have On Demand.
Okay, cool. I'll have to look for that. Very, very cute. So right now, it's like mid-December. When is it? It's the 15th. And this isn't going to go up until about Christmas Eve or Christmas, one of the two. So what are your plans for Christmas, Heather?
I am going to go see my mom and my family. Bruce works up until – he works the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, up until Christmas. So I'm just going to hang out with her for a couple days, and then we're going to hang out together on Christmas Day, and then I'm hosting Christmas at my house with his family. So, yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Oh, fun.
What are you doing?
Going to, I assume, just hang out at with my parents, and my brother and sister-in-law will probably come over, and our neighbors will probably come over for Christmas dinner. And I think Gary is going to have vacation time around Christmas, so I'll get to hang out with Gary some more because he'll have some days off. And that'll be pretty much it, which is perfect. We used to have to, like, run around and go to a bunch of different people's houses and do a bunch of shit, and we don't do that anymore, and it's amazing.
Yeah, I'm trying to get out of doing that, but I have minimal this year, which is nice.
That's good. Yeah. While I'm at Lacey's, I'm not going to stay at Lacey's for a few more days. I'm going to spend tomorrow with Julie. And I might get to meet Winston.
Yay.
Which is Julie's boyfriend's cat. And he's the cutest thing in the world. And I really hope I get to meet him and smooch his little face. And if I do, I promise we'll FaceTime you so you can meet Winston too. Over Skype. Or over FaceTime. When I made the plans to come here, everyone was like, how long are you staying? I'm like, I have no idea. Because I really didn't know. It just depended on who I'd get to see and on what day. And then I found out it's going to rain all weekend. And I don't want to drive through the mountains, A, while it's raining, and B, on a weekend when traffic will be crazy.
Yeah.
So I probably won't leave until Monday just so I can avoid all that. So.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. Hopefully. And then it'll be the, like, week of Christmas. Do you have all your shopping and wrapping and stuff done?
Blech. No. I have most of my shopping done. I'm waiting on packages in the mail. But, yeah, I haven't wrapped a thing yet. That's what I'm planning to do later.
I'm so proud of myself. I got everything done really early this year. Though I did significantly less shopping than I usually do, just because I don't have that much money this year. And I'm like, guess what? If we're not close, you're not getting a present. I made the executive decision. I'm like, yep. That's how that works this year. Sorry.
And we decided to do donations for our gifts, so that was pretty easy.
Yeah, which I still need to do. I was trying to find out if there was any way that I could, like, donate directly to the school districts that you and Julie work for. I could not figure out a way to do that, so I haven't decided yet who I'm donating to, but I wish that was an easier thing to do.
Yeah,
that you could Yeah. Oh, goodness. When does your school have vacation days? Like, when is your school closed?
My last day is this Friday, and then I get 2 weeks off.
Nice!
Yeah, I'm excited.
That's rad.
And Friday, I get to chaperone the senior trip to go bowling, which I am not going to be bowling, but I am excited to chaperone it.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Did you have to pay?
No, I did not have to pay.
Okay, good. I remember us talking about that, and I was like,
yeah.
If you're a bowling, you shouldn't have to pay.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, she's like, give me your $12. And I'm like, what?
That's so funny. Well, do you have any final thoughts about any of these movies?
I liked all the ones that we discussed. I really do want to see City of Trees, but other than that, the other three, like, were really good. I feel like we bitched a lot about Christmas at the Ranch, but, like, it wasn't terrible. It just wasn't what I wanted it to be.
Right. Agreed.
But, yeah, those are my thoughts.
I agree. They were all cute. I'd recommend them all to people, but, meh. I feel like we have so many movies. We could do this again next year. I've discovered in doing this, there's so many other queer Christmas movies here lately that we could do this all again next year.
I'm excited. I am excited to watch the second Christmas House movie on Hallmark. I think it comes out Saturday. I'm excited for more. There was also, I know they're not necessarily queer themed, but there were a couple movies that came out, at least one that I think came out last Saturday on Comedy Central that was filmed. It was like Diwali was part of it. Sorry,
cool. Yeah.
But I can't remember what it's called, but it looked good. I just didn't have time to watch it yet.
Cute. I know there was a drag queen Christmas movie that came out this year on VH1 called The Bitch That Stole Christmas.
What? That's
yeah. Yeah. So, we'll definitely be able to do this again next year. I don't know what we're going to do next. I've got to decide. Julie will, like, randomly message me, just like, can we do this movie for the podcast? And they'll have nothing to do with the themes of this podcast. She wants to do Three Men and a Baby. I'm just like, Julie, it's not camp, cult, queer, or creepy. And she's like, it's kind of gay. I'm like, if you squint.
If you squint.
Oh, God. We'll see. I need to start, like, a physical list. Like, an actual, like, Word document of every movie that we consider. Because we talk about them all the time, and then I'm like, it comes time to record. I'm like, what the fuck should I do? What did we talk about?
Yeah, if Julie gets to do that movie, then we get to do Away We Go. Which isn't any of those things either, but it's fantastic.
That is really good. We'll see. It's my podcast. I make the rules.
I'm sorry. I just opened Facebook, and I saw your sister posted, always monitor your sibling's social media. You have this picture of her, and you're like, don't ask me what Lacey Mason is doing. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, she just had a little hyper moment the other day, and she was sitting on the floor, and all of a sudden, she was, like, standing on her head, and her butt was like, can't trust me, folks. I'll take compromising photos of you and put them on Twitter.
Good to know. Noted.
Noted, yeah. All right. Well, thank you all for listening. I hope everyone has a happy and safe holiday season. You can click the Linktree link in the episode description, and it will take you to all of our show's social media pages, where I encourage you all to follow and get in touch with us. If you have any comments, questions, requests, etc., you can message us on social media, or you can email us at wearetheweirdospodcast@gmail.com. Also in the episode description, you will find a link that will take you to our support page. There you can make a one-time donation or sign up for a monthly patronage. If you can't help us financially, you can help us by sharing this podcast with your friends and followers to help us broaden our audience. An extra big thank you, as always, to my dear loyal listeners who come around every episode and support us. We appreciate you so much. You know who you are. Thank you again to Heather for joining me.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
And until next time, we are the Weirdos, Mister. Mm-hmm.